In the church Bible is on page 829. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm so happy, Joseph. I'm so happy today we don't have any translator. And this morning when I came here, someone asked me, is Mark going to preach in Chinese ministry? Yes, I say yes. And he's going to preach in Cantonese. He said, what? Is that really? Yes, I say yes. You need to pray hard for him. So, yep, the U.S. Army, they did a study before and they discovered that we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear in 72 hours. You know, 90 to 95% of everything we hear, you know, after 22 hours. And this is a depressing statistic for a pastor, is it? So every week we spend so many hours to prepare the Word of God, and then we finally found out that after 72 hours, people is going to, you know, forget everything, almost everything. So every time I would try to put my sermon in a simple outline and put in the bulletin. Did you find from the bulletin? And then probably a lot of people don't know why I put the sermon outline there. This is the purpose for us to, you know, to write something down in order that we can remember, you know, even after several years. So I have do this for about 15 years. I've practiced I always put the sermon outline I provide the sermon outline for the people in the church. So that's why you need to take notes and write things down. So if you can't remember the word, we can't live the word, right? So if we can't remember his word, we can't learn from a forgotten truth, right? So I always encourage people, when you come to worship, you should bring a pen or you should do something when you are listening. So let us pray once again. Lord, when we come to you this morning, we pray for you to enlighten the eyes in our heart. We open our mind to you so that we can understand your word and we can live your word in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is a series of choices and decisions. So your success in life is largely determined by your decision. So every time when we make a good decision, we are going to make it. But if we make a bad decision, we are not going to make anything. So it is real simple. As a human being, the possibility for failure in our decision is quite high. So we all make a lot of real bad decision in our life in the past. So some of you this morning are probably facing some major decision of your life, questions about your career or your marriage or your future or your health or your relationship or your financial, and you don't know what to do. So you ask questions like, do I need to hold on or do I need to let go? Do I need to get in or do I need to get out? Or should I make a move or should I stay still? Or do I get married or do I, you know, need to stay single? So these are real issues, and ever after we make decision, even after we make the decision, even with our prayer and asking God for help, a lot of time we second guess ourselves and torture ourselves after we have made the decision with, did I do the right things? So the Bible says that God wants you to know his will. God wants you and me to know his will. He is not playing game with you and me. So he is not playing cat and mouse or hide and seek kind of things. So God wants you to know his will. Let us read Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 17. We read together, 1 through 3. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the day are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. But understand what the Lord's will is. Can you circle? But understand what the Lord's will is. So God wants you and me to understand His will. He wants you to understand His purpose. He wants you to understand His plan for our life. So life is a journey. And because of that journey, God has given us three things. The first thing He has given us is it's the Bible. Then He gives us a comp. So where do I need to point to? There. Okay, sorry. Yep, I just don't know why. Is it going? I didn't switch off. Can you press for me? Okay. So the first thing God given us is a roadmap. That is the Bible. Then the second thing He given us is a compass, which is our conscience inside us. But sometimes a compass can get malfunction. And the third thing He's given us a personal guide, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Bible say in Romans chapter 8:14. Can we have a look? Romans chapter 8:14, can we read together? Okay, 1, 2, 3. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So the only question is, are you the children of God? Are you the children of God? Are you? If you are the children of God, Bible said, the Spirit of God will guide you, definitely. So the Spirit of God will guide you and me. God wants to guide you and me more than we ever want to be guided. God wants you to guide and me more than you and me ever want to be guided. So what is the problem? I want to ask. What is the problem? You say, I want God to guide me, but I still get confused. You say, I don't know what to do. So often the problem is we are looking for the wrong things. So this morning I want us to look at two questions. The first question is, what is God's will? This is a hard question. And I will tell you why this is a hard question. And the second question is, how do I find it? How do I get it? So the first question, what is God's will? It is not a feeling. God's will is not a feeling. This is the mystical approach to God's will, and it appears to all you right brain people. Okay, right brain people. Okay, you are right brain people always out there looking for a feeling, okay? Looking for a sensation, looking for something, you know, romance. And you want to look for sometimes we even want to look for a supernatural sign. You want God to just like, of touching your emotions so you will know exactly what to do. So do things according to our own feelings. But this morning I want to tell brother and sister, if you always just do what you feel like in life, you are going to be a failure. You are going to be a failure. Feeling will guide you in the wrong way. Feeling will guide you in the wrong way. You say, but I feel good, Reverend. But I feel good, Micah. I feel good. But that doesn't mean that it is right. Feeling lie. The Bible says so. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verses 9, can we read together? The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. Your heart is deceitful. My heart is deceitful. That means our hearts always play tricks on us. Even our hearts, even my heart, play tricks on me. So it is dangerous for us to figure out other people's motives, because we even can't figure out our own mind. Our own heart. So the heart is deceitful. Our hearts always play tricks on us. So I can imagine If my wife Moy, this morning, she is quite worried about me, so she attend the EM worship together with us. He's now sitting there. I sometimes can imagine, if my wife had listened to her feelings, I think she would never had to marry me. You know, I don't know whether you have such kind of feeling after you get married or not. The day before wedding, her feeling might say, run. Okay. And, you know, sometimes I ask her, I say, if I die today, are you going to marry soon? Are you going to marry soon? If I die today, are you going to marry soon? He say, what? It's enough for me. It's enough for me. So, don't trust on your feeling. So, please marry me. Okay, but you don't try this, you know, in front of any people. Probably they are going to slap you. And I also want to remind you, the devil can create feelings. The devil can create feelings. So you don't wait for a feeling when you are trying to figure out God's plan for your life. This is the first thing I want to share with you. Second, what is the will of God? It is not a formula. It is not a formula. This is the mechanical approach to God's way, and this appeals to all you left-brain people. Okay, left-brain. You are always so logical and rational, okay? You got it all figured out. You want to, you know, look for a formula. You want a step-by-step procedure, a ritual. The truth is, you know, most books written on how to know God's way are this kind of formula stuff, you know, this kind of formula approach. Do this and do that, follow 10 steps, and you are guaranteed the result. I have read several books on God's will, and I found that they all give a different formula and often contradictory. And it doesn't work because the formulas don't fit. So God's will is not a feeling. God's will is not a formula. So what is God's will? Number three. God's will is a relationship. God's will is a relationship. It is not a rules. It is a relationship. It is a life map. It is not a life map. It is a lifestyle. Okay? It is a lifestyle. It is not an agenda of 22 things to do. Okay? It is an attitude of life. An attitude of life. So God said, I want you to develop a relationship with me. Okay, in the Bible, let us read 1 Corinthians. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. God invites you into this wonderful friendship with His Son, Jesus Christ. You circle friendship. You see, God wants to be your friends. The Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be your friend. That is so amazing. God said, I want to have a relationship with you, with a sinner. You are a sinner. You and me are a sinner. But He wants to be our friends. He wants to be He wants to have a relationship with us. So there is very little in the Bible mentioned about the technique of knowing God's way. This is why it is a hard question. Okay, how to know God's will? Very little. But there are tons of verses that talk about developing a loving relationship with Him. Developing a loving relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the issue. God's will is a relationship. God's will is a relationship. It's not a formula. It's not a rules. The closer you get to Christ, the more intimate, the better you get to know Him. I want to mention about my wife again. When I first got married to Moy, you know, I didn't know before I get married. You know, I have to, you know, I need a lot of guidance as a husband. You need to do this, you need to do that. And she got so many rules in the house. You know? She got so many rules in the house. Even my stocking, how to put my stocking, where to put it, and what time you need to go to bath. She have all kind of rules in the house. And she always asked me to follow her rules. And I always asked her to follow my rules. And he always given me, you know, guidance as a new husband. Many, many years later, I have to say this. Now I know my wife. Now I know my wife. I know her very well. She could be sitting there, and I know what she has been thinking of what I just say. I can read her like a book, like an iPad, okay? And I can see things that are going to happen, and I know exactly what she is going to react, okay? Because I know my wife, and she knows me also. I know her intimately. Because of that, she doesn't need to give me all these rules and regulations and guidance much anymore because I already know. And sometimes I just watch her eyes. I can smell what is going to happen next. You see? You see? She does the way with me, okay? And that's part of building an intimate relationship. The Bible says that God wants to wash you to wash His eyes. God wants us to wash His eyes. Wants us to understand His will. He guides us with His eyes. And how do I know God's will? What is God's will? It's a relationship. So the key is focus on God, not feeling, not formula. So the better you get to know God, get to know Him, the less confusion you are going to have about His will is. So get to know God and everything else becomes secondary. So the question is, how do I know God's will? How do I know God's will? First, five principles from the Bible. First, admit that I need guidance. We need to admit that we really need guidance. You know, sometimes this is tough because we don't like to admit it when we are confused. You know, especially men. Men especially don't like to do this. It is not in our nature to stop and ask direction. Okay? It is against the manly rules to stop and ask direction. So every time when my wife say, I think we get lost. You know, we are just new here. Okay, I think we get lost. I say, stop talking. Okay. Or shut up. Okay. I don't want to admit that we get lost. I try my best to find my own direction. And guys who stop and ask direction are mainly what? I don't know. So it is not my nature. Okay. Probably not every man like this. Not everybody like this, I think. And that's why when it comes to know God's will, it takes some real courage to admit it. But the first step, if you want to know God's will, is admit your confusion. It's to admit your confusion. Psalm 25, verses 9. Can we read together? He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Can you circle humble? Humble. So I have had people tell me that I have been a Christian for so many years and I never felt God guiding me. I never felt God guides me. So maybe it is because you never admit that you need it. You go to work assuming that you know what to do without praying about it. Okay, we have financial decisions all the time without praying about it. Okay. We make a vacation plan without praying about it. We make career decision without praying about it. And if you are single, you want to ask someone on a date without praying about it. and you think you know it, but first, you might want to stop and admit that you need guidance. Number two, how to know His will? Ask in faith for direction. Ask in faith for directions. James, books of James, James say in book of James, he said, you have not because you ask not. Did you remember the verses? You have not because you ask not. Jesus say, ask and it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will be found. Knock the door and will be opened. So ask, seek, and knock. The first letter are ask. Ask, seek, and knock. Three ways of saying ask. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Can we read together? If you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask Him and He will gladly tell you. He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him, but be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. If you don't ask in faith, okay? If you don't ask in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. Notice in these verses, there are two keys to know God's wisdom. First, you have got to ask the right person. You have got to ask the right person. You need to ask God. You ask the right person, God. And then you ask with the right attitude, expecting God to answer. Expecting God to answer. We not only ask God, but we need to expect God to answer our prayer. So have you ever asked God to lead you, but you didn't really expect Him to give you an answer? Have you ever tried that before? Sure you have. Or every time we just pray and we just walk away and forgot what we pray. And that's why we never got anything from it according to these verses. So we must ask and expecting an answer when we are praying. So God honors faith. God honors faith. God promises wisdom. God promises wisdom. So what is wisdom, you say? Wisdom is simply the ability to make decision the way God will. I say it again. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make decisions the ways God would. So, how to know God's will? First, admit that I need guidance. Second, ask in faith for direction. Number three, listen for God's response. Listen for God's response. The honest truth is, we are too busy to listen for God's response. We are always too busy to listen to Him. We don't have the time. So we ask, and after that we rush and just do whatever we want to do, and we don't take time. We don't take time to hear what God might want to say to us. We have to take the time to tune in and listen to Him, because God is speaking. Did you realize that God is speaking to us? Did you realize that God is a speaking God? Job chapter 33, verses 14. Can we read together? God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. Bible says, God does speak. Of course, God speaks to us. God does speak to us, sometimes one way, sometimes another, even though we can't understand it. So the question is, how do I understand it? How do I tune in the right channel so that I can hear God's will? You know, in this room, there are radio waves. We can't see the radio wave because we are not radio. Okay? The radio wave filling the room. Okay? The radio wave filling this room. You and I can't see them because we are not a radio. So it takes a radio to tune into the right channel and we can hear the sound of the wave of the radio. Okay. We can hear the wave of the radio, the sound of the radio. So it takes a radio to do that. But I want to remind everyone of us, God has decided you and I to be able to tune in and hear His voice. Anything else in all creations cannot tune in God's way like you and me. Can tune in and hear what He has to say. We were decided to hear message from God. So how do you tune in? What are the channels that God uses? What are the channels? There are lots of the channel God is using today, but let me remind you three of them. The first channel God is using is the Bible. That is the first channel. He uses the Bible to speak to us. Okay? A lot of people like to call the Bible the good book. Okay? But I prefer to call the Bible the guidebook. Okay? Every time if I buy a new machine, okay, definitely it comes with a guidebook. So if I want to fully utilize the machine, I need to read the guidebook carefully so I can fully utilize it. So the same, if we don't want to read the Bible, how could we, you know, utilize our life? So this is why we need to read the Bible every day. So give it some undivided attention for 15 to 30 minutes of your days. If you are not having a daily devotion time of reading the Bible, it's like you are, you know, taking the telephone connection with God, but there is a busy signal all the time. Okay? And this is very true in many of our lives. We do have this busy signal going on. We have to keep this constant connection because God's way is found in God's Word. We need to abide in God, abide in Word of God, abide in His Word until we understand the character of God, the promises of God, and therefore the will of God. The second channel God is using is teachers. Teachers. You know, people who are teaching what the book say, what this book say. So have you ever been in a crowd and you felt like as a teacher was teaching that God was speaking directly to you? So a lot of us have felt that way. And the fact is, at that moment, He was speaking to you. He's speaking to me. So I can't tell you how many times I have spoken and people will come to me and talk to me quietly and ask me something like, Pastor, how did you know my situation? How do you know that? I say, I don't know, but He knows. Our God uses teacher to meet our needs. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like to miss church after I became a Christian. You know, every time before I listen to the sermon or before I join the Sunday school, I always pray that God will speak to me through the pastor, God will speak to me through the Sunday school teacher, and even the Bible group's leaders. God used teachers to speak to us. Number three, the third channel is the circumstance and pain. This is a third way that God speaks to us. God speaks to us through the circumstance and especially through the circumstance that create pains in our lives. God is speaking. You know, the Apollo movie and television show, they always remind us that of the great adventure of sending a man to the moon. You know, but if you think about that, you will realize that they don't just point it and shoot it and they, you know, get direct to the right direction. No. They were constant course the corrections along the way to get people to the moon. So the same thing is true in my life and your life also. If we are going to live a life of significance, God is got to work these constant course corrections in our lives. And one of the things He used to do in my life and yours too is the circumstance that comes into our lives and the pain that comes into our lives. So have you ever experienced pain before? Have you ever experienced heartbroken before? Have you ever experienced stress and difficulties in your life before? Did you hear that God is speaking to you? And a lot of times, when we are in such kind of situation, we just can't understand why. We just can't understand why. Lord, what I need to face all this kind of pain and confusion? Lord, what happened to my children? Lord, what happened to my husband? We can't understand why. And that's why the fourth principle is trust God when I don't understand. Trust God when I don't understand. In Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, can we read together? Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Can you circle trust? And He will. Can you see? Trust and He will. If you do the trusting, He does the willing. When you don't understand when God is telling you to do something, this is a test. It is an obedient check. And if you are going to grow spiritually, God is going to take you through obedience check over and over in your life, in my life. He will ask you to do something that humanly does not seem to make sense sometimes. And it is test. It is a testing, and if you trust Him, He is testing if you will obey Him or not. The greater example of this is the story in the Old Testament when the children of Israel, did you remember? The children of Israel, they're finally being set free from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And Moses, you know, at that time, Moses led them out into the desert and they come out to the Red Sea. And there are mountains on either side and an ocean in front of them and the Egyptian army chasing after them. So at that time, what are the children of Israel doing? What are they thinking? They start to doubt and wonder and say, did we miss God's will? Did we hear God right? Why we are in this kind of situations? We thought He want us to lead, you know, to be freedom. We thought Moses was the right man, right leader we are supposed to follow. We thought we have made the right decision. But now see, we are going to get killed here. It would have been better for us to slay slaves in Egypt rather than get killed in the desert. They can't understand why. They just can't understand why they are in such kind of a situation, in such kind of difficulties. But after many, many years, they finally realized it. They finally realized that. And they wrote in the book of Psalms. Let us read together. Your road lead by a pathway through the sea, a pathway not one knew was there. You see? After many, many years, they start to understand. Nobody knew it was there, but God did. So listen carefully, church. Listen carefully, church. Sometimes you may be at what you think you have no way to go. Okay? We are never going to get out, you know, of that. I am never going to get out of this kind of problems. Things are never going to work out. My dream is never going to come true. Nobody is going to marry me or whatever. We are not going to have a baby. We are not going to have a relationship like before. we think we are at a dead end. You think this looks like a dead end. It is impossible to get out of it. Right now it may look dark, and it may look depressing, and it may look like a mystery to you. But the Bible reminds us, if you will trust in God, if we will trust in God, if we continue to put our faith on Him, and He will make a path through the middle of the ocean, through the middle of sea, a path no one knew was there. And what you need to do is keep reminding yourself, trust in God. Trust in God. So Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in God. Another verses I want to share with you is Psalm 37, chapter 37, Psalm, next verses. Yes, can we read together? The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he falls, he shall not be hurt headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. The Lord is the one who holds your hand. The Lord is the one who holds my hand. Number 5. Action or act on what I already know to do. Act on what I already know to do. So the truth is, we already know a lot of things God wants us to do. Is it? Is that correct? We know a lot already. We read a lot of Bible already. You already know a lot of what God wants you to do with your life. So why haven't you just, you know, do it? Why haven't you done it? God is not obligated to give you step 2 until you are already done step 1. Or some of you keep saying, I want to know God's will for my career, my marriage. And God say, let's get back to the basic. Let's get back to the basic. Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you in a home group? Are you take serious on Sunday worship? Are you tithing? Are you praying to Him? Basic things. We always make excuses. I'm intending to do some those things. After I do those things, then I will be baptized. After I do those things, and then one day I will join Bible study group. One day. Another year. We always delay. What John says to us, James says to us, can we read together? Anyone who knows the right things to do but does not do it is sinning. Wow. It's serious, right? Anyone who knows the right things to do but does not do it, it is sinning. If I know the right things to do and I'm not doing it, I'm sinning. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1. Can we read together? Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Don't say you are going to do it tomorrow or next week or next year. So here is my questions to you. What do you already know to do, but you haven't done yet? What is your next step? What is your next step? Do I need to learn His word? Do I need to read His word? Or do I need to live His word? Do I need to be baptized? Do I need to do thy things? Do I need to get involved in ministry? Or do I need to share the gospel with my relative, my family, with someone I love? It could be anything. But God say, do it. Don't delay. Do what you already know to do. Anyone who knows the right things to do but does not do, it is sinning. Let us pray.
Jesus Christ wants to guide you through life. He knows where He wants to take us, and He knows how to get there safely. He will never leave us sight, leave our sight. He holds our hands. So much of our stress is unnecessary because all we have to do is follow. My question this morning is, whose path are you going to follow through your life? Your own path or the one God planned? Maybe you have wandered off the path. Maybe you never got on it. Maybe you have been wandering around, confusing, saying, why am I here? What is my purpose? I will tell you why you are here. God loves you. He has a plan for your life, and He wants you to know His will. This morning, here is the question I want you to ask yourself. Ask it to God in your mind. Father, what is my next step? Just ask that simple question. What is my next step? If it is giving your life, give your life to Jesus Christ, and you have never done before, do that this morning. Step across the line this morning. And you, if you have been thinking about becoming a part of the church family for weeks and months or maybe even years, go and sign up for a Baptist class. And you have never make your public expression of your faith, you really need to be baptized. Whatever your commitment is, what is your next step? Would you commit to saying, Father, I want to do what I already know to do is right? Then let us pray this prayer. Lord, I do need your guidance in my life. I admit it. I need it. I ask this morning in faith that you will direct me, help me to listen to your response, to not get so busy that I can't hear you, but to tune into you like the radio tune into the radio waves. Father, when I don't understand my problem, help me to trust you, realizing that you often have a pathway through the middle of the sea that nobody else knows about. Help me to not get frustrated. Help me to not be fearful, but to act on what I already know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.